Hello.
Can you hear me, Mike?
I can.
Hi.
How was
Okay,
your trip
how you doing?
to the animal park?
It was a lot of fun, I have to say.
Yeah, you smell like a buffalo.
That's true. There was a lot of
Yeah.
them there.
What
They
else
came
was
right
there
in.
there? What was there besides buffalo?
Okay, so we had those a zebra's face came into the
Oh yeah,
car.
I remember I saw that picture.
They have varieties of, I don't know what you would call it, like the antelope family, but they weren't actually antelope, but like things that were called like eland, and I didn't know how to pronounce some other one that looked kind of like a bigger deer.
Yeah.
And then they had some yaks. They had a lot of Brahma bulls. They had, believe it or not, Texas Longhorn cattle. Those horns are
Yeah, they're long. They're
oh my
huge.
God.
Yeah.
It was insane. And oh man, what else did they have there? Oh, ostrich. They had
I
ostrich.
guess it's a good thing to do in COVID because you're driving in your own car, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
because I guess normally they do like it's like a trolley. And because of COVID, they got rid of they put the trolleys aside and now everyone drives their own car. Like I kind of put on Facebook beforehand, like you line up your cars in like columns, right? And then you and then because there's a wait, you might be the like we were in the like the third full column, like halfway. So they do one column at a time. And so they said, you don't have to sit in your car. You can go out and walk around. They have a big lake and a bunch of like swan and geese and stuff like that. So we started walking around. We literally were the only people wearing masks just walking around.
Yeah, I
Now,
believe
it
it.
could be because you're outdoors and
Well,
but I
it's the rule I think though for outdoors is if you can control the situation, like you can move you and your family away 6 feet, then I think you're okay.
And that was true for the most part, but there's a gazebo that there's kind of like a little bridge that goes out into the lake to a gazebo.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of people all standing around in the gazebo because it's right, it's out into the lake and they're watching the fish. They had like those big like koi fish. I mean, my God,
Yeah.
those things are 40 pounds. And the swans and stuff. So everyone's looking around. They're all like really close to each other. Nobody's wearing masks there either. So it made me feel a little bit uncomfortable, but
Yeah, I avoid situations like that.
we were wearing ours, and it was outdoors and it was breezy and stuff. So I'm sure it's fine, but it gets annoying that
As
there's no
long as the
reason why.
breeze isn't blowing towards you.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But then shortly after we walked around a little bit and then we went back to the car and from that point on, obviously we're just in our own car and stuff. So, and the kids loved it. So
I
it
bet.
was a perfect thing for the, to do on a Saturday that you could stay away from other people. So it was
Yeah.
nice.
When I was very young, my parents took me to some place in California. I don't know exactly where it was. But it's called Lion Country Safari. And it was very similar, except they had lions and tigers and all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah, they have a place in Canada that's nearby, but the border's closed. Not as close as this place is, but it's called African Lion Safari.
Yeah.
Same thing. They have a lot more animals. They don't have just all plant eaters. They have, meat eaters. They have monkeys and stuff like that. But I haven't been there since probably in 25 years.
Now we could just go visit the Tiger King. That's a.
There you go. Oh, yeah. That's quite a show.
Did you ever see the follow-up to it? The
Oh, yeah, with the interview with Joel McHale
yeah,
did.
that was so fun
Yeah.
because I liked it because it was just like one-on-one with the actual people.
That guy's got teeth now.
Yeah.
Don't recognize him.
He actually looks like he cleaned up the best. Like
Yes. Oh, 100%.
he looked the worst like in the show, but then now it's like he got his life together. You know, he's got a kid and a wife, and you know,
Yeah, he looked
it
just,
looked he
yeah.
looked he looked normal. It's like he improved himself over what he was going through with the Tiger King there.
He did not look good back when, I
But I
mean.
think I think that guy's personality was to keep him down. Like once he
It's what
had
they
him, once he
keep them
had him,
isolated.
yeah, he'd like to keep him in control. He wanted total control.
But yeah,
And
he seemed to be a gay
he was
man.
very protective, so they couldn't do certain things and stuff like that.
And he was interested in both of these young men who weren't even necessarily gay.
Yeah.
That was odd. It was
They
very odd.
had to be at some point, but I think they were more bisexual than they were
Yeah.
gay. But yeah, it was such an unusual documentary. So
It's
weird.
almost like you're watching, and like each episode is just crazier than the next. And you're like, this is like, how could this even be real life? Like,
Yeah.
all of these people are so whacked out. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I really enjoyed the interview show. I thought it was a good capper, you know, to the
Yeah,
whole
I agree.
series. It would have even been a little bit better if they got into the prison and I got to talk to the Tiger King.
Now that lady, what's her name? Carol what? I
Oh,
forget her.
Carol Bastion.
Yeah, that bitch Carol Baskin. You think that she killed her husband, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I think she fed him to the tigers, man.
Yeah.
There's no
I wonder if
evidence
he's
of
going to
it,
do a
but
show about her now.
she's guilty.
She
She
just got
is.
control over his old place, too. I saw it in the news.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Did you have a chance to watch any of Schitt's Creek?
I did. We watched a little bit of it.
Did you
I like it, but I don't like it as much as you do.
Oh, really? Oh, my God, I was dying.
Yeah, 'cause I found the family I don't know, they're not like Seinfeld and the other ones, there's characters that I can like latch on to, but these personalities, I guess I like the mother and father the best because I like Eugene Levy.
Yeah, he's great.
And the wife worked with him on Second City TV. That's what I know them from. I was watching Second City TV before I was watching Saturday Night Live, which is really weird because that was like a Canadian
Yes, yeah.
sec you know Saturday Night Live. But I remember watching the McKenzie brothers and Eugene Levy as Dracula and all kinds of different things. Because
Yeah.
that's where John Candy came from too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So it was great to see them again.
I love David.
Me and Barb were talking about it and we were like, it's a good show to put on where you don't have to be fully engrossed in. Like, I could be bagging and boarding comics and watching
Oh,
it and
yeah, for
stuff.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. Me and Stacy both like David the best. Although I like the dad also.
David the son?
Yeah.
Well, he
Yeah.
really is Levy's son, right?
I know, it's awesome.
You can tell by the eyebrows.
Yes. The waitress Twyla is his sister is Eugene Levy's daughter.
Oh, Willie. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Which one is his daughter? The
The waitress at that cafe.
Oh, I guess I haven't seen her too much.
No, she's not in a lot, but she's in most episodes, but
I
she
thought
might
you were
be in
gonna say
5 minutes.
the girl that works at the hotel.
Oh no, yeah. No.
Yeah. So
Yeah,
we've
so
been
that's
watching it off and on, usually on Sundays, because I do a lot of maintenance on Sundays. I really should do more, but man, I'm just too tired. I've been so tired during the week that the weekend it's like I just don't feel like doing anything.
Are you working long hours?
Yeah. It's really insane right now, and it's going to be insane until the 4th of July.
You have the third off or no?
I do, but
Me too.
I don't really have to take it as a holiday, which is weird. I had so many hours, they let me roll all of Friday. We have like a rolling Friday, and I could roll Friday into this week, so.
Oh, that's good.
So I hit overtime on Thursday and then rolled all day Friday into this coming week, so I don't have to take a holiday on Friday. I'm
That's
just
nice.
taking the day off
Yeah.
because I already
That's
have my hours in.
Stacy actually has to work. She thought she assumed that she was off on the third, and she
Yeah.
just got an email from HR saying that their holiday is the fourth, but they don't work on the fourth. So apparently they just get another holiday sometime that they can take, but they can't take the third.
Huh.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's weird that you find out this late in the game.
Well, yeah, and I mean, she works for financial aid for the University of Buffalo, and it's like it's the summer. Like, why wouldn't you let people take the third off? There's really nothing going on. It doesn't start ramping up until the beginning of August for like, you know,
Yeah.
the fall semester. So I don't understand that, but that's how it works there, I guess.
Huh.
That's weird. So I saw your thing, and I looked up those allegiance things.
Oh man, I would say quality-wise, they're just as good as the AWA books. Like,
Come
they're
on.
all 5 out of 5s, man.
I am like not excited, especially in this environment, to go to a friggin'
Well, you can get them online
How?
through Walmart.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'll look there.
I mean, they were. I had gotten them from eBay because when I went, I was being lackadaisical because I put them in my cart and I was waiting for Barb to put $50 worth so we could get free shipping. And by the time she was ready to do that, a week or two later, they were out of stock. But I think they restocked them.
Okay, I'm gonna look them up because I'd love to get them. I'm just
I
not
mean,
I
just keep in
go there.
mind that you gotta put your 9.8 hat off because they have stickers.
Now
They
this the ones coming
they're
from
not gonna be
Walmart,
in
do you
the
think are gonna have stickers?
well, they're not gonna be the best shape. Yeah, they're gonna have stickers probably. They're not
Well,
gonna
who
be in the
puts a
best
sticker on
shape
a comic
because
book
they're not gonna
anyway?
ship it like in bags and boards, dude.
No, that's true. But
Walmart doesn't care. They're
no,
gonna
and that's
ship
fine.
it like a periodical.
But that's okay. But why would you put a comic a sticker on a comic book?
Because you have to price out.
What?
Their
What about the
barcode
barcode?
isn't their barcode won't work on a Walmart scanner.
Man, there's only one right now available. It's the Bass Reeves one.
Oh, the Western.
Yeah, so I might have to actually make my way out there and see if they have any.
I couldn't find them at ours. They are so expensive, but I'm treating them like a Kickstarter. Like,
Yeah.
I'm treating them like, okay, I would spend $10 or more on a Kickstarter. Do I find these worth it? And I do. I found them all very, really good. Way,
That's
way, way, way better than when I went in with my expectations.
wow.
I wanted them because of the historical relevance. Like, this has been like the first comic to go direct to chain like that since modern comics, man.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, it's this incredible part of history. I want to at least own it. And then I was gonna just read the first few, and I thought I would find like one or two that I would like, and maybe stick to just those two. And I thought, man, you get a Western, you get a superhero in the 1930s. Oh,
Is
it's
that the
just so
Register
good.
one?
Yeah. You get like this fantasy one that's told in the real world. It's so well told. Like, you really get to know the family well. It's really good. And then, what was the other one? Oh, Bass Reed. Well, that was the Western. Oh, the other one is like a horror seance thing in India in the 1800s. And it's got Butch Geist art, and it is so good. I mean,
Wow.
it has like this creepy vibe, and it has a mystery behind it, and I like it. So I liked them all for very different reasons. My favorite, though, I'd have to say was the Red Rooster. And
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I went in with such a bias of the 1930s, because I've been watching Big Mama, and it takes place right after the Depression in the 30s,
Yeah.
and it like I felt it was a great hero story to learn. How many stories do you get of superheroes in the 30s? Like,
Right,
you usually
because
get it in the
there
50s
aren't.
or higher, you know?
Right, exactly.
This
It's
is
got
the
to be.
1930s. All the cars are there. You're going on trains. You're doing it. It just was awesome. You have the motorcycles with the sidecars. Just like so unique. And his art, Breitweiser, he's done comics for the Big Two and stuff before. He's got like a Butch Geist vibe. Like you, if you looked at the art. I should just send you a couple of pictures just so you could see the art. The art in all the books is great.
I see one here on eBay, so I'm putting an offer in.
Yeah, that's what I did. What I did is I got a bundle of four, and
Yeah.
most of those bundles at the time, I don't know what they are now, they were 40.
Yes,
And
that's what I'm thinking.
so it was like $10 a book, and okay. But there was some guy selling him for he had a best offer. So I went on there and I said, "Well, what would be a fair price or what I'd want to pay?" And I went for 30 because I figured that'd be $10 off and it's more in the ballpark and the shipping
Yeah.
was reasonable 'cause it was media mail. And I was like, "Okay, I'll go for it. I'm going to just offer 30 and see what happens." And I was
Did he take it or no?
Yeah, he took it. So
Oh, good.
that's where
I
I
just
got
put
him.
one in for 30. Actually, it was $40, but I offered 32, so we'll see if he takes that.
Yeah, if it's the same guy, he had like 10 available at the time.
Well.
But and this the stickers are annoying, but they have like this like in Kmart ones, they used to put that yellow sticker
See,
right on
I don't have
that
any comic books
top
from
of
Kmart.
them with the modern comics, so it had like a retro vibe to it. The thing I didn't care for with the sticker is they put it over the logo on most cases. Like instead of putting it off to the side a little bit, it was like bang right there.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
My offer was accepted.
It's probably the same guy. You could have went 30. You should have
I
listened to
didn't
me.
know. Well, he is saying that he's shipping priority mail, so maybe it's a different guy.
Could be.
All right, I'm paying for this now.
Well, that he'll hopefully it's better than the guy that shipped mine because he didn't even put them in bags and boards. He just
It looks like you're in bags and boards, but it's going to be in a U.S. Post Office priority mail flat rate envelope.
well, that's better. I mean, it's better
We'll
for
hope
you because
it
you're
picks
a
up.
little more anal on the grade. But in my
Which
case,
doesn't make any
I wanted
sense
to read
because
them.
it's not going to do anything.
The other thing I like about these is, to my knowledge, they're not digital. I guess you could buy, no, maybe you could because I know Red Rooster was a Indiegogo thing. I don't know about the others.
Interesting.
But you have some big names, Breitweiser, Butch Geist, you have Kevin Grevox doing the Western.
Yeah.
Who else? Blake Northcutt. Yeah, there's some. It's a publisher, and the back of it says the next round of them are coming out next week or the week after the fourth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think for the next round I'll have to
Well, I would read them
out there.
first and see if you like, you know,
Oh,
like
sure.
them. I might be overhyping them. You know how
No, but like
sometimes
somebody's
you
got to be
go in.
really bad for me not to like to just say no, I don't like it at all.
Yeah, well these ones I think you'll at least be entertained, but I got a vibe of like quality, like the cover stock, the paper, it was like a matte, you know, instead of a gloss. It just was well put together. Like the art was solid in all books. I was way more surprised. Maybe it's 'cause my expectations like were I just wanted them. I wanted the first batch for historical significance. Like, I just wanted to own that first batch.
Sure, I get that.
Yeah.
So they're $5 the regular price. Obviously, I'm paying more, but they're $5 each. Are they more than 22 pages or?
I think they're 30.
Okay. So they're kind of pricey.
They are very expensive. I started a new podcast, and
Did you actually do it?
I did it,
I
yeah.
heard you were gonna, or you said you want
I'm gonna release it. I didn't know what to name it though, 'cause I want to talk about crowdfunded stuff, you know? And I want to talk about print on demand, and I want to talk about like direct to you know, from the publisher
Yeah.
type books.
Should call it print on
And then the
demand.
Walmart books. So it's hard to well,
Yeah.
print on demand is a very different thing. That's like Indie Planet.
Yeah.
So
Yep. Well.
it's an expensive hobby. Like it's not for everyone for sure, because you have to pay a lot. Really.
Yeah.
There's no discount. You're paying $10 or more for a single issue, and you're having to top on shipping on top of that.
Right, exactly.
So it's and some of the really big names, they double that price. So instead of being 10, it's 20.
Yeah, crazy. It can be crazy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you real quick. You saw that I posted in our little group that I got a Firestorm number 3 with Killer Frost.
Yeah, I saw
So I
that.
got that on eBay, and I've been looking and looking for one, and finally this one came through. I'm like, oh, this one looks like it's in pretty good shape. And it was a bidding one. The opening bid was $15, but it did say, like a best offer if you just wanted to
Yeah.
buy it right away. But it wasn't a certain price. It was that you, I guess, offered something.
Yeah.
So I went ahead when there's only one day left, maybe a day and a half left in the auction. Nobody had placed a bid yet.
Yeah.
So I put in the offer for $20,
Yeah.
and they declined it. So 1 minute before the auction ended, I put the bid in and I won it for 15.
So you bid against yourself?
I was
What?
the only one to bid.
Oh.
Because they declined my offer of 20, so I got it for 15 instead.
Yeah. I like to bid for stuff. I just don't like to like watch it. And so I'm the lazy bidder. I like to go, "Oh, how much is this book worth to me?"
Yeah. Oh,
And then
no, that's
just
my place to play.
make that my high, right? And just
Yep.
say, "Okay, whatever happens, happens." And I end up losing 80%
Well,
by
see,
a dollar or something like that, but
what I end up doing now is, because that would happen to me all the time, is like I'm bidding how much I really would go up to, right? But then in actuality, somebody just waits until the last second and gets it for $1 more. I mean, $1 isn't a big deal. I would have gotten it for a dollar more, but I have to
yeah.
put some sort of cap. So what I do now is I just wait for 10 seconds to be left in the auction. Then I put my what the most that I want to bid for, and then it's either the high or it's not the high, and then I move on. But for that, you kind of have to track down to the exact, second when this auction is going to be over. For that to really work. So I don't do it often, but for this one, it was worth it because it was the only firestorm I still needed.
Yeah. But
But
I'd rather bid like eBay than the Facebook one. Man, the Facebook one, you
I've
have
never
to.
done
The only
Facebook.
time I do the Facebook one is at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like
Yeah,
it's just not worth it because the scroll thing. Because you
yeah.
have to go like open comments, and then it usually starts you at the bottom, like the most latest, and then you have to go earlier comments, and then you see each issue. And then you bid, and sometimes it'll shift.
It bounces them around,
It
right? The
bounce
comp.
it bounces it around if other people are in there.
Yeah.
Like it moves you, and you're like, "Well, I didn't want to be there. I was right there where I wanted
Yeah.
to be." And you have to have a lot of patience, but
Well, yeah, I mean, it was never designed as an auction type site,
no. And then you
you
have to
know.
play games like Facebook has like an algorithm to think that you're botting things if you like put a dollar, a dollar, a dollar. So you have to do like stupid things like one, and then spell out one, and then say $1, and then
Oh,
say
really? What like what
10
happens if you
pesos.
don't do that?
It'll catch on and it'll block you. Like it'll
Oh.
say it'll take your first bid, but then all the other ones will never get into the comment field.
Oh,
So
I didn't realize that.
you have to do like 1.000 or
Huh.
$1 please, or 'cause the very first time I did it, I went like a mad dog, like 1, 1, 1, 1. And then it said rejected, rejected, rejected your Facebook, and we're going to report you because of spam. And I'm like, what the hell is this? So
Wow.
I IM'd the guy, and I was saying, I'm bidding on your stuff, and it's not letting me. And he says, you can't use like repeatable phrases over and over again, or the Facebook gods will deem it spam.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I see people do that on Instagram too, doing like bids, auctions.
I don't have Instagram.
I do, but I hardly ever use it.
I almost refuse to do any more. Like I'm at social media capacity.
The only one I actually like pay attention to is Twitter, and then if I get notifications on Facebook, I look at those notifications, but most of the time I don't see a lot of other things.
I like Facebook a lot because of the history. Like I love to go back in memories and look at my pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
That's the part that I like the most. And then I do like to go to the Facebook options. I like to go to the Charlton Arrow fan page. That one's a fun one. The Bad Idea fans group.
I wonder when that's going to come out, by the way.
I don't know. I still have my first one paid for. I have to contact whoever I got it from. I forget.
Did you get it from Juan?
I didn't get
Did
it
you get
from
it
Juan
from?
yet
Oh, okay.
because he wasn't set up yet, and the other company was. But I did tell Juan. I talked to Juan on IM a lot. He asked me like a lot of DC questions and stuff like that. He owns a store.
Yeah.
And I find him very humorous. He's got a wit to him I like a lot. Like even a political wit. I find him very entertaining. So yeah, I like Juan a lot. I'll definitely get books once I find out what's going, I'm gonna switch. But I before I knew Juan, he wasn't on the list originally. And I can't remember who I went with. It was somebody, it's a big place that has eyeballs as their logo. I can't remember. In
Yeah.
Boston.
I did Andy Legal, who used to be one of the salespeople for Valiant.
Oh, he got selected.
Yeah,
What is his shop?
he's from Buffalo, and now he lives in California. But that's why for the Buffalo Comic Con, they would actually like Valiant would actually show up there because he's like, I'll just come home. He's like, I'll just it wasn't like a big like table, but he's like, I'll set up a mini table because I can stay at my folks' house and stuff like that or whatever. And so it was really nice. I'm trying to remember the name of hang on, I'm gonna look it up. So now I'm having trouble remembering what his Brave New World Comics.
Ah.
So I went through him and he's got me all I haven't paid yet, but he's got me all set for when they actually are ready.
Yeah, I think I'll switch because although I did appreciate the place I went through was easy to order from, I paid and then they sent me a thing like 2 months ago or before the pandemic started. They said, "Do you want your money back? Because we do not know when it's going to release." I appreciated that. Like,
That's really nice. Yeah.
yeah, I thought that was good notification. You know, it was like, "Hey, you can get out now if you need to, because we don't know what's happening,
Exactly.
or when it's going to happen." And I said, "No, I'm sticking around."
Yeah, no, that's a really nice offer rather than them just
And
holding your
I know
money
they're
from
a big store too. They're a big store.
you.
I can't remember the name of the store. It's in Boston. Oh, I can't remember. Third Eye? Maybe that's what it's called. Third Eye
Third Eye?
Comics.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I think I might have seen them on Twitter.
Yeah, I used to follow Third Eye, and then there was another one, and that guy turned out to be a real asshole. Not the Third Eye guy, but the other dude. He owns a comic store, and he's just a jackass. Like, he's so opinionated that it's like he can't own a store and talk shit about what's crap. Like, he'll say, "This is crap."
Who's
He's basically saying to his customers, "You like crap," and
this?
he's not afraid to say it.
Right.
And I got into a big argument with him,
Where was he located?
and I think he was in Boston, and he blocked me.
Well,
So
he didn't
I think that
appreciate
was
the pushback.
the first known block I ever got.
He wanted to be able to, put people down without them coming back at them at him.
Yeah. I said, "How could you be a retailer and say, I'm already of the mind, I've always been this way, that somebody's garbage is somebody else's treasure." I've always believed that.
Yeah.
Like, just because I don't like it, I can understand the appeal that somebody else could like it.
Well,
So,
yes, that's why there's so many different things out there,
yeah.
because everyone has different tastes.
And I just like to experience things. So, like, even if it's a crappy movie, like, I go in with it sort of knowing it's not going to be the best. Like, I'm watching a crappy movie now called The Sisterhood, and I know it's bad,
Is
but
it a
I
crappy
went.
movie or is it a, but
It's a low
my
budget
thing
movie.
is it a boring movie? 'Cause that's what I don't like. I can't like if it's just boring.
I'm
If it's
not
just
bored.
bad, but it's still like entertaining, oh, that's great. But if it's something that's just boring, that's where I struggle.
Yeah, I don't get bored too often. Like, I don't think I've ever stopped a movie because I was bored. The
Okay.
only movies, there's only two movies in history that I've ever not continued with, and I have a problem with musicals. I'll just flat out say it. So when I went to Little Shop of Horrors, me and Barb and our friend walked out.
Oh,
We were like,
jeez.
"What the hell is that?" And that was the Rick Moranis one with Steve
I,
Martin.
you, Steve
I just
Martin.
I couldn't do it.
Well, I have to say that's not my favorite of. I really I'm fine with musicals, I guess, depending on what it's about, if it holds my interest. But that's one that, for whatever reason, I didn't really care for.
And the other one that I couldn't finish was Ishtar.
Oh, I've never seen
I thought it would be a good movie because it had like Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
I thought, "Oh, it's gonna be a good movie," and I just was I suffered from boredom in that one.
Well,
Like, I
from what I
just
understand,
couldn't.
that's what happened to most people because I think it did terribly, didn't it, when it came out?
I don't know. It didn't do as bad as Krull, because one of the comics I'm going to cover today is Krull. But
Oh, okay.
I was shocked. I went on to IMDb. I was just on IMDb before we got on, and it was one of the highest budgeted movies. And I've been watching low budget movies.
Right.
It was one of the highest budgeted movies of its time, and it went. It took $47,000 to make, 47 million, sorry, and it only made recouped 16 million. I think in video cassettes and stuff it became a cult classic,
Yeah.
but I that you can never I don't know how to determine what a thing does in the market after the box office. Like, how does it do in
No,
V, you know,
yeah, I
how
don't
did it do
know.
in VHS? How did it do in rentals? How did it do by renting to HBO? 'Cause when I saw it at the theater, and then I remember as a kid it was playing on HBO like all the time. So I like watch Krull like, I don't know, 55 times. I don't know. It was one of those things I just watch over and over again.
I'm not
And
100% sure if I've ever seen it.
it's worth seeing, but it is cheesy. Like you'll say 47 million, you think the effects would be like pretty doggone good, but they're not. The actual beast that's in the movie is kind of like this huge head, but you never see a lot of its body.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it. I've got the comic book, but I don't
I
think I've
don't
ever.
own the I didn't own the comic book, believe it or not.
I think I only have the first issue. I think
I
it
only have, well, you can send me the first one because I have the second. But
was.
Joe Crawford sent me some books.
Oh, he did?
And yeah, he sent me an IM and he says, do you need any of these? And there was a handful of them I needed. And he had Krull on there and I was like, oh, that's pretty badass. I want that because I have this nostalgia factor for Krull. Like I had seen it so many times. Even my wife and me used to make fun of it with the family because it would be on and we'd say, oh, it's on HBO again. Let's watch Krull. And we'd always watch it. It was funny.
I
But
watched Beastmaster over and over again on the HBO days.
yeah, Beastmaster was one. That one's on Amazon Prime. A matter of
Yeah, I was watching
fact,
it the other day. Actually, while I was working, I just had it on.
last night, I was looking for Krull. I was like, Barb, let's watch Krull. And I found out, I looked everywhere except for DirecTV, but I had looked on Amazon, I looked on Netflix, I looked on Hulu, and you can get it on Amazon Prime for $2.99, but I was like, nah, I'll watch something else. And I ended up watching that new Batista movie where he's with that little girl that's a spy.
Oh yes, how was that? Was it funny?
I enjoyed it a lot. And
Yeah.
the reason I enjoy it is because I'm a sucker for Kindergarten Cop. Like I can watch Kindergarten Cop over and over again. And this is the exact same plot with different jokes. Like
Nice.
but it works. And the girl that's in it reminds me of my niece so much because my niece is like super intelligent and just sensitive to people and issues and stuff like that, and the little girl reminded me of my niece, so I liked it a lot.
That's
So I
awesome.
ended up staying up late watching that, later than normal, because I'm usually falling asleep early. Barb stays up till all hours of the night, but this Krull comic was kind of cool because even though I figured if I didn't have number one, I can read number two because I've seen the movie so many times. I
Right.
know where I was jumping in. And this was by David Michelinie, and Brett Blevins was the penciler with Vince Coletta on art, on inks, and Jim Shooter was the editor. And it opens up in the swamp when they're fighting these creatures. What are these creatures called again? 'Cause they're like stormtroopers. They work for that beast. What are they called? Duh, 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 duh. Slayers. They have like stormtrooper helmets. They walk real slow and they carry these staff and they're fighting in the swamps and there's this like blind mystic that's leading them to the beast. The movie opens up where a prince, his name is Prince Colwyn, and Princess Lysa are uniting to get wed, and by uniting, they're gonna defeat the dark powers. I don't know how they do that, but they're gonna do it. And she gets kidnapped by the beast, So he has to like ch try to find his wife to be, and the beast is in this black fortress. In the black fortress, the thing about it is it moves from every day. It doesn't stay in one location to another, and nobody knows where it's gonna be. And in the swamp, he has this old man. He's a blind man. He's a seer, who's with this little kid, and he's guiding them to the fortress. But they get attacked by slayers, and they have a cyclops. Like there's a cyclops guy that's also a hero, but you don't know if he's a hero in the movie. And they sort of get out of the swamp, but then something that can shapeshift takes over the blind man and tries to kill them in the swamp. And he does kill the blind man, so they're like, well, how the hell are we going to find the Black Fortress now? And they have this old guy. This is the best part of the story, in my opinion. There's this older guy, and what is his name? I can't remember what his name is. But anyway, he was a former lover to this woman called the Widow in the Web. And this is the sci-fi piece that I think is like very unique to Krull. At least I do. Plus the fact that he throws like this gravel, I forget what they call it. It's like this circ it's called a glaive, but it's like a circular thing with blades.
That's the most famous thing that I know about the actual
Yeah.
movie is that
Yeah,
thing.
that's a big part of it. And around this time we had movies like The Last Starfighter. We had Dragon Slayer, which is I like way more than this movie.
God,
Like
Dragon
Dragon Slayer
Slayer.
is amazing. Like I could Dragon Slay all my I love Dragon
I
Slayer.
forgot about that movie.
Yeah, and then Clash of the Titans, the first one came out, and that was like amazing. So we had like some.
I loved Clash of Titans. I had all of the figures that they made for Clash of the Titans, including the
Oh,
Kraken.
I am jealous. I am jealous because they had the Kraken,
Yep.
they had
Pegasus.
Pegasus and Perseus. They
Yep.
had that.
Phalo,
Yeah,
Calibus,
they had the
and
guy with the goat feet and the tail and the beast horns.
yeah, Calibus, yeah.
Yeah, is that what his name was? Oh
And then they had
man.
the what do you call it?
Medusa. Didn't they have Medusa?
No, they never made a Medusa.
Oh wow.
That
They
was a missed
didn't.
opportunity.
They had some cool character. They did have a soldier, just a regular soldier that went with Perseus, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, a Greek soldier. Did they have anybody else?
I think that was it. I don't think it
Yeah.
was a successful. I don't know how the movie did, but I mean, I loved the movie. We saw the movie.
Oh
I
yeah, the
saw it a
movie was the
million times on
bomb.
HBO afterwards.
Yeah. But I was
And
a sucker for those movies because I grew up on Sinbad and the Eye of the
but
Tiger.
right.
Like
Yes.
it was him fighting skeletons and all
Yeah,
those
the Harryhausen
claymation. Yeah,
and
Harry
stuff.
House Harryhausen. Yeah, oh he was awesome.
No, I'm totally with you. I mean, that was a huge thing, but I have a feeling that I don't know if the movie did well, but I don't think the toy line did because, I mean, that was it. They came out with that stuff and then they never added to it, so.
My brother had he had Pegasus, he had the demon guy and Perseus. But
Oh, okay.
he didn't have the Kraken.
You
Do you
did?
still
Oh,
have
yeah.
the Kraken?
No, I can't find it
Oh
anywhere. I don't
my
know
God,
what
that
would
would be
happen to it.
awesome. I was gonna say, you gotta sell me these. I would love
I
to
still
have
have my
those.
old Godzilla from that. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, did Godzilla have the wheels on his feet?
Yes, and he shoots
Yeah.
his fist out.
Well, that he was released with the Shogun Warriors, I think.
Yeah, I still have that Godzilla, but I do
Yeah.
not have the. I don't know what happened to the Kraken. I don't remember ever throwing the Kraken out, but it's one of those things that when you're a kid,
Do you
after
still
maybe
have
comes over.
Perseus?
I still have all four of the other figures. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't get them, but I wish I did. And I think they had some Dragon Slayer toys too.
I didn't have
But
any of those.
Dragon Slayer to me, of all those movies, there's just something about it because it's the girl that's pretending to be a boy. Do you remember that? Because
Oh, yes.
of the auction, they have to go sacrifice a virgin to the dragon every year.
Yes.
They have that little drawing, and her father wants to keep her from getting in the auction, so she pretends to be a son, and then they get that guy who they kill the sorcerer like early, like the guy that's gonna slay the dragon, and they have this apprentice who doesn't know shit. Like he literally doesn't know hardly any magic. He knows some bits and pieces, and he has to become the master sorcerer. And it, I God, I just love that movie. And it has some good special effects. The dragon is really well done. It's, I, in my opinion, it still holds up today.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna have to watch that movie again. It's
That
been
one
in years.
is on Amazon Prime for
All
free.
right.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mike, I see a Kraken pre-used, pre-owned, but it still has the box. Only $804
That's what I'm
on
saying.
eBay.
They're worth a lot. They're worth a
I mean,
lot
the box
because,
is beat to crap too, and
yeah, I
they're
know
fine.
they're worth a lot because they weren't successful. Do you know what
Yeah.
I mean? There's
Yeah.
not a lot of these out, but God dang, the horse was awesome because the wings flapped. Do you remember? Ah, oh, I was jealous. I really wanted those. I do have the Dick Tracy figures though. I'm proud of
I don't
those.
have any of those. But that was later on, right? I mean, we were older and I wasn't buying.
Yeah, that was 90s, right?
Yeah, that was, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Or
I
no,
think.
maybe late 80s or 90s. It was what, when did Batman Batman 89, so it, Dick Tracy might have been 90 or 91
That sounds
because
right to me.
Dick Tracy came out right after
1990,
Batman.
I just looked it up. You're
Yeah,
absolutely right.
it was right after Batman. And the thing that's different about Dick Tracy though is when I first saw it, I enjoyed it, but I didn't think, I was like, what I liked about it was all the colorful costumes and characters. I was like, this is amazing. But the more and more I watch that film, I think of it as a masterpiece. I really do. Like I, it is like a cartoon dream come true. Like all the effects and stuff and the way it was filmed is just amazing. Madonna's sexier than hell. It's just, ah, it's a perfect film. But
I'm
back.
telling you. Oh, I'm sorry. We're getting
No, 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 go, no,
off
go
topic.
ahead. Go ahead.
The only other thing I was going to say is that I realize in retrospect, like, I think I was, not that I think, I'm pretty sure I was very spoiled as a child and I didn't realize it. It's so many of these figures. I'm thinking about the black hole figures, too. Did you ever have the old black hole figures?
I did not, but I did see the black hole
We had all those
at the
figures, too.
theater.
So I was like, I think my parents spoiled me. I think I was
My
just a spoiled brat.
parents were not, didn't have a lot of money, but
My
they.
dad was a single, he was the only breadwinner in the house. I don't know how they afforded any of this crap.
I know how my parents did. We didn't get anything big or anything for the entire year, and they would do this thing called the Christmas Club. Well, it would like earn interest. You put money at the beginning of the year and it earns interest. And at the end of the year, they would use it to buy gifts. And that's where like Christmas was real big. That's where we actually circled the Sears catalog, like I want this or I want that or whatever.
Interesting. Well, I'm sorry to derail you.
Oh, no. So anyway, they're in the swamp and they have to get one of the other older guys to go visit his ex called the Widow of the Web, and that's the fascinating part of the story because she knows where the Black Fortress is going to appear next. And it's creepy because this is like a huge spider and she's at the center of the spider and she can't leave. She's holding like this sand, and if she re lets the sand go, the spider will kill her. So this like sand is the only thing that's protecting her. So he gets there and you learn about this love story that they used to love each other and then they got separated and she had a baby but she didn't let him know. And he like loves her to no end, but she sacrifices herself so he can get out and she gives him the sand. So the spider can't attack him when he has the sand, but the sand is like dripping through his hand. Like he's just holding the sand. And she goes, when you let the sand go, the spider will attack you, but even if you get out, you'll die. Like, I just gave you my life, you're gonna die. I just thought it was a like this brilliant concept. So the spider eats the widow of the web, it kills her, and he's walking out with the sand. He gets out and saying, okay, the Black Fortress is gonna appear here. And then he's like, the sand, the last piece of sand drops out of his hand and he dies, but he got out there and let him know what's going on. And then we have an intermission for NBC Saturday morning cartoons, which I watched a lot of these on NBC. This one had an ABC one, and I didn't watch crap on it. Yeah, ABC had like the Best of Scooby-Doo. When it was the Best of Scooby-Doo, I didn't watch it. I may have seen a couple of the Little Rascals Richie Rich show. I know I watched Richie Rich. I don't remember the Little Rascals. They had the Munchkins. I don't remember that. Pac-Man, I did watch that a couple of times.
Yeah, me too. Not much, though.
They had Rubik's The Amazing Cube. I
Yep.
didn't watch that. They had the
Oh, I'm
Littles.
aware of it.
I remember the Littles, but I don't think I watched much of it. They had Puppies Further Adventures, the new Scooby-Doo and Scrabby-Doo. I do remember that. And then Menudo, which was
Oh.
the Mexican band. But I was more of an NBC guy because they had the Flintstone Funnies, the Shirt Tales, Smurfs. I did watch Smurfs because it was right before Alvin and the Chipmunks. And then Mr. T came on, and Amazing Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk Hour, and then Thunder the Barbarian. Like that, from Mr. T on, I watched all of those religiously. I liked Mr. T. I loved Spider-Man and his amazing friends and the Incredible Hulk, and then Thunder the Barbarian was awesome. So the only way they could get to the Black Forest is to get these horses. The Cyclops mentions these. There's these fire horses that they have to. They're the only way they could get all the way across the world in time. So they have to corral these fire horses. They get over to the fortress. They break in because the Cyclops sacrifices himself. He's able to open the fortress and then he dies. And then the prince and the boy and the guy who throws an axe, I forget the guy that guy's name, but there's a guy that throws an axe and he's like a badass with an axe. And he goes with his glaive, and they break into the device, and he fights the beast with the glaive. And the glaive isn't enough to defeat the beast, but it's their love when they reunited, when they had this like flame in the wedding that he broke up. It's this flame of love that ends up destroying the beast. So yeah, it was entertaining to read again and just remember. It's amazing how much I remember of it. I know I
Isn't it funny?
watched
Like
it.
some things are just ingrained into your memory.
Yeah, and I adore the love story of the guy and the spider. I just the widow and the web. I just always remember that piece of it
That's
because
cool.
it's tragic. They both die. They both have to make a sacrifice to get the location. That's the only way
Yeah.
they're gonna find this place. But yeah, Krull didn't light the box office on fire for sure.
And I take it back. I looked in the database. I have both issues of Crawl.
Yeah, I gotta seek it out. I'm gonna seek it out. The art is really nice. Like it is very. He draws the prince exactly. The prince and the Cyclops look exactly like they do in the film.
Cool.
And even the old seer, the blind one, he looks exactly like he does in the film. Like I remember it distinctively.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good
So
comic.
you're talking about a comic based on a movie, and I watched a movie last night. It's one from 1964 called Onibaba,
Honey Baba.
and it's a Japanese movie.
Is
It's
it a
an
horror movie?
it's supposedly a horror
How do you
movie.
spell this? Because I can't. I won't be able to find.
ONI
ONI
BABA.
BABA.
Onibaba. It means demon woman, apparently, or loosely translated to demon woman. It's like I said, it's filmed in black and white. It's set in feudal Japan, and it's during a time where there's a war ravaging the entire country. it's different factions, different clans. It was in Japan fighting each other, and
That's got incredible ratings. Wow.
I know I didn't. Well, anyhow, let me tell you how what the basic premise, and then I'll tell you what I thought. But the set, that's the setting. We're following two women. It's a mother and her daughter-in-law. You know, all the men, of course, have been sent out of the villages and stuff to fight in these emperor's wars. And so to get along, these two women, they basically. First, I should tell you, they live in this huge. It's not like a regular village, like you would think of a village. They live in this huge, like, tall grass field. Like the grass is, you know, easily taller than you. It's like 7, 8 feet high grass.
They
And they
never
have
mowed
girls,
it.
huh?
They never mowed the grass.
They never mowed it, not even once. And so, like, they, you know, they have a little like thatched hut and stuff, and they're near either a lake or a river, and but they're pretty much like by themselves. Well, there's this very deep hole in the area as well. And what they do is when straggling soldiers come, either maybe to get away from the army or maybe they're injured or whatever and they're hiding, what they do is they sneak up on them and they kill the soldier. They take all of his armor and weapons and stuff and throw the body down this hole. And then they go to this kind of like a almost like a I don't know if it's a black market necessarily, but this one particular guy who then they sell this stuff to, and that's how they get like their like food and stuff just to survive. So that's what they've been doing. A neighbor of theirs that lives in another thatched hut ways away, this guy, he ends up coming home, and he meets them, and they all share dinner together. And apparently he had left with the woman's son, and the other woman's, you know, husband, same person. But he came back alone. So he said, well, you know, he didn't make it. He's dead. So basically what happens throughout the movie at this point is this guy's really obnoxious and stuff, but first he starts making a pass at the mother saying, well, why don't you, like, why don't we get married and stuff? And she's like, you know, get out of here. And then he starts making a pass at the daughter-in-law, and he's a lot more successful with that, where finally he says, you know, meet me tonight at my hut and stuff. So then every night when they go down to bed, she sneaks up out and runs up through the field into his hut, and they make love. And then in the morning she runs back. And acts like she's like bringing water back or whatever. Well, it's only been one or probably two times, maybe three times before the mother has woken up and sees that nobody's there, and she sneaks over to the hut and she sees what they're doing. So she's very upset about this because this is her daughter-in-law that's now, you know, now having, you know, having a relationship with this guy who is supposed to be their friend and came back alone without her son. And as far as she's concerned, she's the daughter's still married to her son, and you know, now she's off with this neighbor. So she doesn't let on to the daughter that she knows about this, but she confronts the neighbor and starts, you know, yelling at him and saying, you know, don't do this, and I don't want you around. And he basically says there's nothing you can do about it. She tries to offer herself to him, and he wants nothing to do with her. So she's very upset. She says, you know, if you take my daughter-in-law away, there's no way I'm going to be able to survive. Like, I'm not going to be able to kill these any soldiers by myself. I need her help. I'm not going to be able to do anything. She said, at least wait until the war's over, and then I can at least farm the land again by myself. And he's like, who knows when that's going to be? I'm not listening to you. So she's very upset. One particular evening, she's out, and the samurai comes through, and he's wearing this like demon mask. And he asks, he approaches her in her hut and says, I need to get back on the road to Kyoto, and I'm but I'm lost in this field. Will you show me the way? And at first, she tells him basically to, get out, go to hell, because he's one of these soldiers that would be responsible for her son's death. And so after he threatens to kill her, she says, fine, I'll take you to, to the road. So in the meantime, he's just talking about what he did, and that he basically, he's being honest in that he lost a lot of men and he kind of disgraced himself. But along with that, he's talking about how handsome he is all the time, but he's got this, demon mask on. And so she starts saying, well, let me see what you look like. And he's like, no, he's like, my face isn't fit for your kind. Or you're not fit, rather, for, to see my handsome face. And so sure enough, instead of taking him to the road, she leads him to this hole, which, I mean, because of the tall grass, you really can't see much ahead of time. So she starts running, and he thinks that she's getting away. She jumps over the hole, and of course, he falls and lands in the hole, and he ends up dying. So she climbs down the hole, gets all the armor and his sword, and starts trying to take the mask off. And there's a lot of trouble getting the mask off. And finally, she gets it off, and his face is like all like scarred and really, really bad looking. So she's like, huh, some handsome face. So the next night, what her idea is, she says she's going to go and sell things piecemeal to this the black market guy, because she said, I'll get more food that way rather than if I sell everything at once, he'll feel like, he'll pay me once, and we won't get as much as if I sell things one at a time. So each night, she's going to sell one other item. So she goes out and she's doing it at night. She said it's cooler, it's easier to walk around. And of course, what her plan is, she knows that that's when her daughter-in-law leaves to meet up with this other guy. So as soon as she's gone, the daughter-in-law goes ahead and starts running through the field, and all of a sudden pops up this demon, and of course it's the mother wearing the demon mask and shouting and stuff like that, and scares the crap out of the younger girl, and she runs back to the hut, cowering. And this happens like two or three times, until finally, towards the end, it's happened a few times, and this time the young woman makes it to the man's hut. And then when she's coming back, the mother is there, and she's wearing the mask, and so it freaks out the young girl. But she's like, the mother says, no, it's me. I'm not a demon. It's your mother-in-law. And she's like, I can't get this mask off. And so they're trying, they're tugging, and she's like, it hurts, stop. And she's like, well, you have to stop struggling even if it hurts. And then the daughter-in-law's idea is to start bashing the lady's face, the mask, to try to split it. And then, and like the woman starts bleeding, but it starts working. It actually pries apart in half, and you see her face, and it's just totally like messed up, just like the samurai's was. So it was almost like it was like glued like to her face, and by ripping it off, you're like ripping all the
The
skin off or
skin,
what?
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't say anything like that, but that's what it seems like. And so then she starts, the younger girl, the girl starts screaming and says, you are a demon, you are a demon, and starts running. And at the very end, she runs and jumps over the hole, and the mother, not realizing where she is, falls into the hole. And that's immediately the end.
Huh.
I have to say that 9/10, The first 5 minutes of the movie is the two women killing these two soldiers, disrobing them and throwing the bodies in a hole. I said, okay, well, let's see where this is going to go. Then literally nothing else happens for the entire movie, except for, these discussions between the two women or between the women and the neighbor. Just talking, and then, finally the young woman is with the neighbor over and over again. So, they detail like her, running out of the hut at night and coming back and stuff like that. And literally nothing is going on. Like even when the samurai came, I mean, there wasn't a lot going on. He ended up falling in the pit, but and then of course at the very end with the mask being stuck, that kind of got my attention. But overall, I'm not sure why it got such a great rating. Although I'll say, like, the cinematography was absolutely beautiful. It was like filmed very, almost a little bit artistically, like with all those long stems of grass and stuff blowing in the wind and everything. It was filmed beautifully, but I honestly felt that it was pretty boring. So I don't know how it got such a high rating, but I thought it was kind of dull. I'm glad I watched it at least once, and it was on my
Why
list.
did you watch it?
It's on my list, the 100 movies, the horror movies to see before you die. So I can check
Where
that off.
how did you watch it?
It's on HBO Max.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you know what? I was looking through horror movies on HBO Max, and there's like three or four that I haven't been able to find anywhere on Prime or anything for a while that are all just there on HBO Max, like older ones. So that was kind of interesting. So I'm like, well, I'll watch this one while it's available, because who knows how long it's available. But
I have HBO Max. I just haven't logged in yet.
yeah, it's pretty cool. They
I
have a
haven't
big,
used
big
it yet
catalog.
because I don't know, man. I lately I'm just 100% into Amazon Prime. I have enough to watch.
Well, I think you're like me. We're both in the same boat with the HBO Max. We're not paying for it, right? You get it as
I'm not paying for it. I have it, so I'm being lackadaisical about it.
Yeah.
But
We've watched
I
six
am
of the
paying for
kids.
HBO.
Yeah, me
But
too.
to be honest with you, like, we watched last week, we watched Just Mercy because that was on Amazon Prime. And then we watched this Batista movie. So, like, we've been watching Amazon Prime like nobody's business. I have especially because all my exercise movies are on Amazon Prime. I have not wanted to watch TV. Like I'm a moody person. Like I have to change it up. And right now I'm in movies, so
Yeah.
that's where I'm at. But
No, that's
that's weird that you didn't like it as much. It seems,
it
but
just
it does seem like an artsy fartsy type movie
it,
too.
yeah, it kind of felt like it dragged. I mean, it wasn't a long movie. It was an hour and a half, but there just was so little actually happening that I don't know. Well, for whatever reason, I didn't think it was as good as, I mean, they're giving it an eight, which, and again, I think horror movies is kind of a stretch. I mean, I guess, yeah, with the mask being glued to her face, that's horrific, but it's literally the last 5 minutes of the movie. So, I don't know. It was okay. Like I said, I'm glad I actually experienced it once, but it's not anything I'll need to be going back to anytime.
So I'm gonna stay on the movie binge because I do have one other comic, but I thought Chris was gonna join us, but he couldn't make it. We
Yeah,
got a
I just saw
text.
that.
So
Yeah.
I was being a little lighter on the material, but I'm going to talk about a movie I watched, and I watched two of them that were called Big Bad Mama, and the
Okay.
poster looks awesome. It is sort of like done as a sexploitation film, but I'm amazed by some of these films that can be shot. This was shot in 20 days. 20 days. Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead performed most of the guitar and banjo music in the movie. It stars Angie Dickinson, who most people know as Policewoman. I believe her nude scenes, she did all of her nude scenes for part one, and they had a double do them in part two. And you can distinctively tell that it's another body in part two.
Oh yeah.
And the other two big stars that are in this are William Shatner and Tom Skerritt. Tom Skerritt, you might know from Poison Ivy or Top Gun. He was one of the guys that was above Tom Cruise. I gotta let Harley in. But this movie's it takes place in the 30s, like in the Depression times. And she lost her husband. So the uncle is going to get them into the bootleg business to sell alcohol. So Big Mama has two young daughters. One's getting married. I hope they're 18. I assume that one's getting married. She's at least 16. It's hard to judge in timepieces. Like this is 1930, and maybe it was okay to marry at 13. I don't know. I've never researched it. But the uncomfortable part of this movie is the mother and the daughters, but it makes for a good an interesting film. The uncle is very attracted to the mom, which is very weird because that was his brother's wife. And they go on this bootleg thing, and they have like the cops, these FBI agents stopping alcohol because it's prohibition, right? So they're bootlegging all this alcohol. They shoot the uncle, and then Angie Dickinson's character Wilma decides, I'm gonna keep the bootlegging thing going. And that doesn't work out so well, but then they start robbing banks, and they run across this guy Fred, and they botch his robbery, because Wilma and her daughters take the money, and he's there shot in the leg doing all the work, but they end up teaming up. So this guy Fred is Tom Skerritt, and they become like this Bonnie and Clyde, I guess, if you will, with the two daughters. Once she finds William Shatner, William Shatner takes Wilma away from Fred. And Fred becomes really jealous, but the daughters take advantage of that because they're like, hey, mama's having sex. Well, we should have sex. So Tom Skerritt had sex with Wilma. He had sex with the older daughter. And then the older daughter feels bad for the younger daughter because she's not having sex. So she invites them for a threesome and they all have sex.
Sure.
Sure, why not? So everybody's, it's like a big happy family. And William Shatner plays like a con artist at the horse racing track, and he wins like her Wilma and him win a lot of money. So Wilma becomes real attracted to him because this guy's like smart, and she likes him a lot more than the Tom Skerritt guy. And so it's this band. It's you got two men and three women robbing all these places. They rob the horse racing track. They're having some success, but they start to quarrel. They decide to kidnap a what this? Yeah, they try to kidnap a rich woman, a daughter of a rich woman and rich man, and they put her up for $1 million. That's probably a lot in the 1930s. $1 million, I can't imagine. But that goes haywire, and that's when Tom Skerritt and William Shatner start getting at each other's nerves, and William Shatner says, "Fuck this." He escapes. Tom Skerritt and Wilma get left behind in a big shootout with the police at a barn. And the daughters and Wilma escape. Tom Skerritt's killed, but he does take down a lot of cops with his Tommy gun. And they had captured William Shatner. I'm not sure if William Shatner died. He was with the cops, so he was hiding behind the car. But I don't know if Tom Skerritt accidentally shot him. I mean, he probably wanted to shoot him because he didn't like him to begin with. So that's how it ended in this big shootout, and Wilma was supposedly dead. One of the daughters, the youngest one, was pregnant with Tom Skerritt's kid, and you just have the two sisters. And then about a decade later, I think this one was shot in 16 days, which these films are really, if you can do this good of a job in 16 days, man, I'm just fascinated. But Big Bad Mama has Angie Dickinson in it in 1987, so almost, what, 13 years later, you have a sequel.
Wow.
And the interesting thing about this is you don't have to have watched the first one to see the second one. Because it's they yes, she has two daughters, but it's almost like the continuity of the film, they said, screw it, we're starting from scratch. And she doesn't do her own nude scenes in here. It's the only re other recognizable actor in this is Robert Culp. I know him from The Greatest American Hero.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
That's yeah, that's where I know him from. He plays a reporter that's following Wilma as she robs places. But in this one, Wilma's more justified as why she's bad, because this politician goes after their land and kills her husband. So she wants revenge on this politician. That's the whole plot of the story. And she's gonna rob everything she can from this man, and to hurt him that way rather than just kill him, including taking his son captive. And his son falls in love with the youngest daughter, and he becomes part of the gang, and they go robbing places. And Robert Culp sort of follows him around because he's reporting Wilma as like the modern day ro good guy, Robin Hood, if you will, robbing from the rich and giving it to the poor, the people that are living in the middle of nowhere with barely any water and food. Wilma does get shot in this one too. So does the daughter. So yeah, it's a pretty good film. This one, in my opinion, is a little not less, it's less campy. So it sort of makes it a better film, but campy can make a film great. So I think people will highly regard Big Bad Mama 1 better than Big Bad Mama 2, but I kind of liked Big Bad Mama 2 a little bit better, especially because it felt weird that Tom Skerritt was screwing all the family. It's just like, it's weird. And this guy must get those roles because in Poison Ivy, I think it's Drew Barrymore. I can't remember the actress that's in it, but
I think she's in that.
Poison Ivy is a story about an underage girl that has sex with Tom Skerritt, but she manipulates men. So he gets these roles where he has sex with underage girls. I don't know what's that about. We need to cast a role. Let's get Tom to do
Right, if you know how much he likes doing that.
it. Yeah, he likes to do that. There is a lot of nudity in it, but it's mostly breasts and a lot some butt. Like you get some Angie Dickinson butt, but at least in the first one. The second one you get some butt, but it's another actress. And it is not proportionally like right. This
You
the
know, you
actress
got to
they
give her a
got,
break. She was in her
well
mid fifties.
the actress that they got to do the nude scenes in the second one, like me and Barb were laughing. Barb didn't watch the first one. She only caught the last 20 minutes of the second one, and she saw the nude scene and she was like laughing because they were like using Angie Dickinson's hands, but it was like this young girl's body, and it was much thinner. Like the girl they used was way thinner than Angie Dickinson's build, and it was so weird. And sure enough, you go into the fact page and they mentions the actress that did her nude scenes. But this both of these are on Amazon Prime, and they got me to watch another film called Truck Driving Women. And just to sum that one up, that was a it's a brothel at a truck stop where they the girls the women that work there also rob the trucks. So they'll like pretend their truck car is broken down in the middle of nowhere, and then when the truck driver pulls over to help them, they'll knock him over the head and then steal the truck and then strip the truck and take everything out of the back and then paint it a different color. And she the main woman gets in a fight with the mafia because they kill her contact in California and they're located in New Mexico, and it's a big like ordeal between her and her daughter because her daughter doesn't like her mother, so she sides with the New Yorkers. And the New Yorker, the guy who plays the New Yorker, is pretty funny because he almost every sentence he says is, "Oh, forget about it." So I like almost every line he has is about like that line. So it's like cheesy. The only actor I recognized in this movie was if you watch Seinfeld religiously, you'll see Uncle Leo, a very young Uncle Leo in there. Yeah, playing a Jerry. He plays a mechanic at the women's truck stop.
Much younger, I guess, huh?
Yeah, but you can distinctively tell he's got the distinctive jaw and
Oh yeah.
eyebrows, and you know, I actually didn't place him, but I said, "God, I know him." And Barb goes to IMDb and she's like, "That's Uncle Leo." And I'm like, "Oh yeah."
That's fantastic. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
They sound very interesting. Something that I would definitely be into watching.
Well, you have to go into them knowing what you're getting it. They're you have to know you're getting a B film. They're films that are shot in a couple of days. They're Roger Corman films. I think the Big Mama ones are. So you know the budgets are like extremely low.
Yeah,
And
but fun.
they're fun. They're fun, and they don't take themselves seriously at all.
That's awesome. Well, I'll go next then. What I read a Kickstarter. I wonder if you backed this Kickstarter a while back. I finally got a chance to read it. It's Mutant World and Son of Mutant World.
I backed a hardcover.
Yeah.
I don't know if I only backed I only got one hardcover.
It's in both. Both stories are in one hardcover.
Okay, so I probably do have it. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, so I just read it yesterday,
Were they
and
originally in heavy metal or what? Or
they
no.
were was it actually in a Warren Publications.
Oh, okay.
It didn't say what exact. Oh, maybe it did say. I don't remember now. New magazine from Warren Publications, 1984 is apparently the name of the magazine. But Mutant World originally came out in 1982. Son of Mutant World came out in 1990, which is why it's eligible to be talked about here, even though the Kickstarter is recent. Because it's the first time collecting Mutant World with the original dialogue, because apparently when they released it through the magazine, whoever the editor was went in and just changed all the dialogue without telling any of the creators. So they just
Wow.
really changed the story. Son of Mutant World, then they did on their own the way they wanted it done, but it had never been collected in English speaking format. So I don't know what language it had been collected in, but it was never English language. So this is the first time to kind of get both their original story, Mutant World, in the collection for the sequel. It was pretty interesting. It's by the writer's Jan, and I don't know how to pronounce this.
Jan
It's a
Strand.
thank you. He's got his A and his N reversed, so I didn't
Yeah.
know how to pronounce that. And Richard Corbin is actually the one that came up with the idea, and he's also the artist. So the first one, Mutant World, it kind of follows this one very simple. It's a post-apocalyptic, first of all, sometime in the future after like the world is kind of been destroyed, And it follows this like kind of simple-minded mutant named Demento. And he basically what he does is he goes around scavenging for food. That's basically what people need to do. And in his travels, he's constantly being tricked by other mutants along the way of either accidentally giving his food to somebody else with a promise of something else that's due to him that, of course, he never gets, or just sent to do a task and he comes back and in the meantime they've stolen away his food. So he's just basically living his life traveling around trying to stay alive. And there's this one woman that doesn't look like a mutant, and she keeps riding by on her horse. And the first time he encounters her, he tries to kill the horse because he wants to eat it. But she ends up convincing him not to. And similar to everyone else, he points him where there's a lot of food and some eggs and stuff. And it turns out that it's like some weird creature spider egg. It's extremely hard to crack. And a separate set of mutants send actually knock out Demento and tie him up, and they steal his egg, and it manages starts cracking open, and it's this like weird looking crazy alien type thing that ends up just like attaching itself to the person's body and starts eating the person. So Demento got away with alive with that happy coincidence. And so it's just detailing, like he meets a priest that is highly proficient in martial arts, and they accompany each other for a little while before the priest ends up getting sucked into a sand trap. Demento keeps going along his way, and one thing after the other, he's somehow getting out of these things alive, even though he's constantly being tricked by other mutants. Finally, he encounters this woman's horse, and it's just lying there dead. And she's tied up, and she calls him over. And there's three other mutants that have said that they would let her go if she calls Demento over. So they knock him out, and they say, well, we know we're not going to let you go. We're gonna take care of you too. So they throw them both in this hut for safekeeping, but they manage to escape, and they end up getting the best of these mutants. But Julie kind of runs away as well, and. By the time it ends, there's you can tell that there's like an army still around that like live underground, and they set up reconnaissance every once in a while. So they see this Demento, and they end up tracking down the woman too. And so they're there to actually, I guess, get the woman, not Demento, but it turns out that the woman is one of their clones. They've been cloning these women named Julie, in an effort to try to repopulate the planet. But it hasn't gone well. And Demento ends up finding his way to the underground bunker, I guess you want to say. It's very elaborate though. And so basically by the end, you've got Demento and the reconnaissance guy that feels sympathetic is named Max, and he's in love with this Julie. So he ends up letting Demento go, and Max and Julie kind of go off together on their own. But what they decide to do is back down in the bunker is that they create a new Julie and send her out, and she then becomes partners with Demento, and they make it a point saying, we're gonna, Max went one way, we got to make sure that they never head that Demento and this Julie never head the other way, because we don't want them to the clones to meet each other. And the last kind of thing is just now Demento and this particular Julie, living together peacefully, and they're just hanging out in a Winnebago. It was a just abandoned one, just up on a hill. It was a really actually very entertaining story. And then later that afternoon, I read the sequel, Son of Mutant World, and it picks up where the Julie and Demento had a child, and it's a girl named Dementia. And
Are you a
Julie.
big Roger Corbin fan? Is that what drew you to this?
No, I never heard of him before. I just
What
found it.
made you draw to this
I really like
book?
post-apocalyptic
Oh,
stories.
really? Wow.
Yeah, like the
See, I
meat type
bought it
stuff.
because I like Richard Corbin's art, but
He's fat. He's really got a great style, doesn't he?
yeah, he's it's very unique.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And in the sequel, it's Julie had died years ago because clones apparently age very quickly, and so it's just Dementia and her dad Demento, and Dementia has a pet bear, grizzly bear named Ollie. Well, these two scavengers break into their house when Dementia and Ollie are out, and they start and Demento tried to attack back, and so they shoot Demento, and Dementia hears this, and her and Ollie come running to the rescue, but it's too late for Demento, and he ends up dying, and he tells her to go to the settlement out I don't know if it's east or west, but out farther away, and that Max will look after her. And so that's the reference to that army guy from the first one. So this story is basically a whole story of her and her grizzly bear making her their way to the settlement. Along the way, they encounter a strange guy who believes it's the end of the world. A specific day is coming up as the end of the world, and he's kind of like flying like a blimp type thing. There's a father son. They look like kind of like hillbillies that are out tracking food. And at first when they see the grizzly bear, at first they want to kill the grizzly bear, but there's a mutant wolf that ends up jumping and going after the father, and Ollie ends up saving the father. And so they said, no, he's good luck. We're not going to kill him. They never actually meet up with Dementia, and they're not like traveling together. It's just like a happenstance that they happen to be in the same place at the same time, and then they both go their separate ways, even though they're kind of going the same way. They're not together, if you know what I mean. And so then it flashes to Max and at the settlement, and he's with basically all these other mutants. They're more simple type mutants. Dementia is even though she looks different, she seems to be as smart as a regular person, not like her dad was. There's this huge mutant named Mudhead who has organized an army, and they're planning on attacking and destroying the settlement. And as far as Max can tell, there's absolutely no way that he'd be able to stop it. So he's kind of resigned to the fact that as soon as this army attacks, they're going to be dead. But he ends up from some of his friendly mutants that he lives with, kind of readjusts his thinking and says, okay, maybe we can do this. And that's just when Dementia and Ollie show up, and they let them in. And at the same time, that prognosticator, I don't know how to say it, who thinks the end of the world is coming that particular day, is coming around, and around the settlement is this thing called suckweed, and it sucks your brains out, but it only comes out at night. So the plan for this army is to come during the day and destroy the settlement. And they're like, all right, it's there's nothing we can do about it. It's going to happen, you know, and they're going to destroy us during the daytime. So sure enough, the army start to attack, and they're about to come when suddenly the quote, quote unquote, end of the world happens, where it's really just an eclipse. So the sun goes away, the suckweed all comes out and destroys the entire army. And in the meantime, that father and son hillbilly team show up to try to actually, they help. They start helping to save the day. And the father dies, but they manage to rescue the son. And they end up, the guy who thought it was the end of the world, his name's Herschel, he ends up becoming in a relationship with Dementia. Max and another mutant live happily ever after and adopt that the boy. And that was the end. It was just incredible art. There were fun stories, not overly long, something you could just sit down and, you know, it's a graphic novel size, but you could just sit down and read in about 20 or 30 minutes. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. So if you've got the Kickstarter, Mike, I definitely recommend it. It's beautiful art, fun story.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm surprised you got it. I don't
Why?
know why, but 'cause it was a pricey Kickstarter.
Yeah, it
It's
was
like
a little.
$45.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
But I entered that data into the database, so I don't know if you saw
You're the
that.
one that did that?
Yeah, I'm the one that
Yeah,
did that.
I just went to search for it. I'm like, oh, it's there.
You'll see in
So,
the notes I had Kickstarter in there.
yeah, you did. Yeah, I saw it in there. I'm like, oh, somebody put it in, so I'm gonna go ahead and mark it
Yeah.
down that I own it. So
I
thanks, Mike.
was making a mistake. Like, I'd get lazy and I wouldn't enter them in, but then I don't know what I have. You know what I mean? So every time I get a Kickstarter now, I enter it in.
Did you put that picture in too? You got the picture in there and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I was gonna go search for the picture. I'm like, oh, the picture's already in there.
So, my last book is another book from Mr. Crawford.
All right.
He sent me I don't have too many of these promo comics. But this is a Supergirl promo comic. It's actually in our database under the second volume of Supergirl, under a Department of Transportation 1, and then there's another one, Department of Transportation 2.
I see him.
And it says America Honda presents DC Comics Supergirl. And this is an interesting thing about seat belts, like how important seat belts are to wearing. And it had like a correlation. It reminds me of the masks, you know?
Yes, I
Be
saw that
because
review.
when
Yeah, what?
I don't know if you knew if you're well, I guess you probably did, but seat belts were real controversial. Like people didn't want to wear them because
It's against their freedom.
it's against their freedom, as they're against their American right. There was two trains of thoughts, just like there is with masks. One train of thought was they wanted to be ejected from the vehicle than trapped. So, but now, you know, science after many years, people believes, hey, if you get ejected, you're going to
Die.
die. So people bought into the seat belts. I'm hoping they buy into the masks. But because science, there is science behind it. The mask, what it does is you sneeze or you cough, it blocks those particles, those droplets, a high percentage of them. Because if all you have to do is watch the movie Outbreak, they do a really good job, that Dustin Hoffman movie and Patrick Dempsey and all that. Patrick Dempsey's in the theater and he had gotten the disease from the monkey, I believe, that he got from the pet store. And he sneezes at the theater, and what you see in the theater are just drop particle droplets. They do a good job of it. It's
I
like
think I remember that.
it
I haven't seen that
sprays
movie
the
in
whole
forever.
theater. Like the it just boom. It's just a sneeze. Boom. But what the mask does is it a sneeze has like a huge velocity. That we know it's the disease is transmitted through droplets. So what a mask does is it prevents that velocity of a sneeze and cough for the person that's actually coughing to protect the others around them from getting
Right.
that. So wearing a mask doesn't really protect you much. It protects you some, like it's like 20 to 30%. But if both people are wearing a mask
Then you're
and they're
good.
sneezing, then it's like you're like 70. That's a good
Well,
percentage, to my opinion.
Mike, I'm sure you've seen the analogy to somebody to the thing of either you're both not wearing pants, just the person who's not peeing is wearing pants, or if both people are wearing pants. So right, like if somebody's peeing at you and neither one of you are wearing pants, you're going to get really wet.
Yeah.
If you're wearing pants and the other person isn't and they're peeing on you, you're going to get wet, but not as wet as if you didn't have pants on. If they were are wearing pants and they pee, you don't have a thing to worry about.
Yeah. And people just don't get it. Like,
Right.
I just don't know. It's like, why have doctors in medical fields been wearing masks since the dawn of time? Why during the flu pandemics that we've had in the past do they encourage mask usage? It's like people just don't fucking learn. But anyway, this is the same thing with seat belts. Okay, so it's an interesting story the way they did it too. The story is written by, well, the story is put together by Joe Orlando, Barry Marks, Robert Lauren Fleming, and the dialogue's done by Andy Helfler, who I've always known as an editor, but he's doing that. He also wrote The Shadow back in the day. So they put together this for the Department of Transportation, and it's Supergirl dating this one guy. He's going on a date, and he's got tickets to this big movie. He's a geek, and he likes like sci-fi movies. His name is Gordon. And she calls because she's helping out with an earthquake, and she's her alias is Linda Danvers, and she calls and says, "I can't make the date. I'm sorry," but she's really doing it as Supergirl. So he decides to take his young sister, and she gets in the car and she tells her older brother, "Please put your seatbelt on. Dad says to put the seatbelt on." And he goes, "Nah, we're just driving 5 miles. We're gonna be safe." We see them driving through a green light, and a drunk driver hits them, and he gets knocked out. The young girl gets knocked out as well, but she was wearing a seatbelt. So the drunk driver's like, "Oh my God, I might have murdered something. I was just partying. I just came from an office party," and all this stuff. And they get admitted to the hospital, and he's in a coma. And they said the doctor's like, "I don't get it. All our physical tests say he's okay, but there's no brain damage. But he's in this state where he can't wake up." And he keeps like reliving in his brain like he killed his little sister. So Supergirl feels horrible about this. She goes to the Fortress of Solitude. Superman says, "I have this machine where you could get into somebody's mind, but you have to know their exact location." But she says, "If he dies while you're in his mind, you will be trapped." So she's got to try to keep him alive. She goes into his mind, and they're into this world of like Road Warrior, except they're on ice sleds. And he refuses to wear a seatbelt again with his young sister and gets killed again, and then gets even worse at the hospital. And then Supergirl says, "Well, I gotta try again." Well, they do a thing sort of in a jungle, like an Indiana Jones thing, and a big rock is coming to hit him, and he doesn't wear a seatbelt. He gets ejected and gets killed again. And the doctor's like, "I can't figure this out," but he's getting worse and worse. And Supergirl's still at the Fortress of Solitude trying to keep him alive. The next time it goes into a crime noir, like he's a detective and he's trying to solve a crime, and his sister says, "Put his seatbelt on." And he goes, "Look, if it'll shut you up, I'll buckle up." Satisfied. And the third time he puts the seatbelt on, and he actually, when he gets hit by the car, he wakes up and sees his sister there and save his he's safe. And interesting enough, at the back it has like Unmaking the Myths. It has all the percentages of your probabilities about wearing a seatbelt and stuff like that. And about velocities, like how fast are you when you're in a collision, and how strong are you, and this kind of stuff. How many G's you get ejected from a car at.
Wow.
And then it even gets into like what are your risks with cigarette smoking, alcohol and drugs, eating habits, physical fitness, and stress control.
They
So,
did it all.
yeah, they did it all. But it was a safety belt promotional comic.
Very cool.
Yeah, put
I know I have some toothpaste ones and what else? Oh, Don't Smoke, I think, with Storm and Power Man, and I remember who the other one was. Would have been Spider-Man.
Yeah,
Those promo ones.
I have a couple of them. I like to read them. They're fun.
Yeah. Well, I've got one more that I can do if you've got some time.
Sure.
Okay. So, let's here it is. I've never read this before. I think I got it in one of those packs, those three packs that were at the grocery stores or something like that. I don't remember. But anyhow, it's Night Stalkers number one.
Ah, from Midnight Suns.
That's right, part five of Rise of the Midnight Suns. I was a little worried that I'd be going in here and not having an idea what's going on because it's. I was wondering, like, is it going to be jumping into something I'm not going to know? Or were they smart enough that because it's a number one, that it was, that you'd be able to follow what's going on? And you definitely could follow what was going
You
on
can
without.
follow it, but it's in the middle of that Lilith thing, isn't
It is, but but those
it?
characters, it like at least it starts you off with you kind of understand these characters have a lot of history, but it gives you it kind of gets you up to speed as to where they are
But they
now in
were
this.
all tied into like Ghost Rider, Spirits of Vengeance, that
Well,
one, and
yep.
Darkhold.
I've never read Darkhold. I don't
Oh, it's
remember
really
Darkhold.
good. It's on the app if you want to read it.
I don't have the Marvel one anymore, just the
Oh,
DC.
okay. Yeah.
But so yeah, so this one was by DG.
Chenchester.
Yeah, that's a funny last name, isn't it?
Yeah,
It's
he
G.
wrote
Winchester.
Daredevil. He wrote that, and he wrote Terror Incorporated.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember him from Daredevil.
Yeah.
Ron Garney was the penciler, and Tom Palmer was the inker. So it was a pretty good team. But yeah, I mean, to your point, the very
And
beginning,
this was number one, right?
this was number one. It throws you right in with actually Ghost Rider and Blaze beating up some demon called a Lilin. It looks like a punk girl, but some sort of demon, and trying to get some information from her.
Well,
And,
let me just give you the setup.
yeah, because I read the Ghost Rider and I read Spirit of Vengeance, but that's all that I read.
Lilith released like her so-called children, and now Ghost Rider, the Blaze and everybody else are trying to capture her children, because if Lilith gets her way, the end of the world will happen. So now you have all these factions, and if I remember correctly, the Night Stalkers are going against Blaze and
At least for this issue, they are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of fresh in my memory because I just sort of, I think I read it like 2 years ago.
Got a good memory.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, Ghost Rider does a penance there on her and kind of like enters her mind and kind of sees what's going on between, like you said, Lilith and her demonic children. And three men in the city of Boston. So it's Blade, Hannibal King, and Frank Drake. And so anyhow, Johnny Blaze and Ghost Rider say, okay, we're gonna go up to Boston. So that's basically what's going on at the start of this, and then you kind of go from person to person, and you start with Frank Drake, who I'm probably not that familiar with Frank Drake or Hannibal King, although I've heard of both. And Frank Drake is married, and they're at an aquarium where suddenly he gets like this vision of Lilith, and when he kind of comes out of it. His wife is just like, I don't even know what you would call it. She's just like a blank slate. She's just like staring out into space, not responding to anything. So you know, they call the medics and stuff like that, and you can see Doctor Strange is in the background as well. And then it kind of turns to I guess Blade has been in an insane asylum, and has gotten out, and again, Doctor Strange has, I guess, done some therapy for Blade, and so he's getting out. Blade's getting out, and he leaves, and Doctor Strange is kind of like watching over him, unbeknownst to him. Hannibal King is that used to be part of the Borderline Investigative Services, and I guess they kind of stopped, and he it's like Doctor Strange is all over the place in this. So Doctor Strange is talking to Hannibal King and about the fact that like I guess Doctor Strange had done something to Hannibal King where he kind of still has those cravings for blood, but he doesn't need the blood to live. He's not alive, but he's not exactly undead either. He has those cravings, but he doesn't need them. So he needs to just fight those because it's not something that he needs to actually live. So anyhow, Lilith is meeting up with some of her minions, and they see that there is going to be an array of nine people coming up against her, and nine is a mystical number that can exorcise evil. And so her plan is, and she's talking to one of her minions, saying his name is Meat Market. He's really like a bizarre looking creature. He looks disgusting. He's got like a bear skull. He's got like patches of flesh on his face. And he's got some skin on him, and like some of his ribs are showing though, and he's like just really nasty looking. But anyhow, Lilith is explaining that they don't need to defeat all of them. They just need to defeat one of them, because if they defeat one, then they don't have their mystical group of nine anymore, and that there's no way that they can prevail against Lilith. So basically what her plan is to get Frank Drake and his partners to go up against Ghost Rider, and they fight each other. It really doesn't make a difference what happens, as long as one of them is out of the at least one of them is out of the picture. So they so Frank Blake, Hannibal King, and Blade all get together back at their old PI headquarters when a woman comes in and wants to hire them to let's see if I can okay. So she's saying that her husband can't move and can't speak, and so you know that reminds Frank Drake about what's going on with his wife. But so he says, "Do you have any ideas how to reverse it?" And she's like, "Yes, this is supernatural, but it can be undone by killing the person those responsible." And he's like, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. We don't kill people. The PIs don't go around killing people." She goes, "Not people, demons." And she throws out pictures of Blaze and Ghost Rider. So now they're under the impression that they need to get rid of these two in order to save both this woman's husband and Blake's wife. But By the way, Mike, it's quite obvious that the woman hiring them is Lilith, dressed as a regular person. So, no surprises there. They go ahead and they get all of their other weapons together and stuff, and they leave a message for Blaze and Ghost Rider to meet them at the Old North Church, which is exactly what those two do, and a huge fight ensues. Like Blake's got this like futuristic like blaster that shoots these beams out that are even hurting Ghost Rider and kind of makes it so his joints are all like rigid and he can't move. And Blade's going after Blaze, and they manage to take him down, and they're just about to actually Blade is actually about to cut off both of their heads when suddenly they notice that somebody else is kind of like watching from the shadows, and they turn and shoot in that direction, and that meat market creep is revealed, and they realize that he was watching them the whole time. And they get the inkling that he has something to do with the woman that was that hired them, and so they end up killing Meat Market, and then you have a quick cut to Strange talking to Lilith about how there's going to be a collision of power soon, and by the end of this issue, they really Ghost Rider and Blaze realize that. Or I should say, the other three realize that those two aren't the enemy necessarily in terms of what the problem is, but neither are they friends. And they said, listen, we're not after you at this point, but this is our job to get rid of supernatural beings like yourselves. But right now we have to deal with Lilith, so that's our priority. But after that, better watch your backs because things aren't, we're not gonna let you guys off the hook forever. And that's kind of how the first issue ended.
Yeah,
This was the only issue that I had of Night Stalkers. Yeah, it was definitely enjoyable to read. Cool 90s book during that whole Midnight Sun time. Pretty cool. I enjoyed it.
is this your second time reading it then?
No, first time for this one.
Oh wow, so you had it in a long time, you had it a long time before you read it.
No, I had we went to one of the stores, and maybe it's one of the ones that you remember a while back, a couple of years
Oh,
ago, you sent me.
Target. Yeah, Target
Yeah,
was having
Target.
them.
Yeah, that's what it was. You sent me one of those that were bagged together, and
Yeah,
that
yeah,
happened to be
yeah,
in there.
yeah.
So I had it for a couple of years now. Yeah, finally got around to reading it. But yeah, it was
That's
cool. It was
a
cool, and
bummer that
I
they
used to
stopped
love
doing
Ghost
that.
Rider and Morbius and stuff back then. So,
Yeah, I only need 16 through 18 to finish the Night Stalkers.
oh, nice.
I know Ghost Rider, I have everything of. I think Midnight Suns, there's a quarterly. I just need. What do I need? There might be one.
I bowed out of Ghost Rider eventually before it ended. Yeah, I have the first 50 issues of Ghost Rider, but then I stopped.
Oh no, I have all of Midnight Suns. A
Oh, nice.
Morbius. I think I'm only missing one. Morbius. 'Cause I was getting all of this stuff.
Do you remember
I have a full run of Morbius, so
when
that's
that
good.
Ghost Rider came out and stuff, it was like the hottest thing, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. This had a good launch. Like everybody. Darkhold I have completed. That has a collected edition out too. It's a different book. Darkhold's by far the more it's more Vertigo-ish to me.
Okay.
Plus it has Richard Chase drawing Case drawing it, which you always think of the Doom Patrol when I see his art. So what was the other one? Spirits of Vengeance. So
Yeah.
I almost have all of these.
I
I had
think
to
I only
just
have
finish
one,
it.
two issues of that one.
Spirits of Vengeance. Oh, that didn't come up.
It was called Ghost Rider Blaze Spirits of Vengeance.
Oh, that's why I can't find it. Well, that should have still come up.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider Blaze. There we go.
So that only
Yeah,
lasted 20.
I need 19 through 23 on that.
I only have the. I thought I had a few issues. I only have issue number one.
So I'm almost finished with this Midnight Suns. Oh, no, I'm not. Doctor Strange, I need a lot. Because Doctor Strange was the other one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just recently got some of those in the mail. Because I got those off of Facebook auction. I got a few, like 5 or 6 of them. I have a
What
lot to
volume of
complete in the
Doctor
Doctor
Strange was
Strange.
that? Second?
Second?
I don't know. Second? Yeah,
Maybe.
I have no idea. Was it just called
Oh
Doctor
no,
Strange?
no,
Was it
it's the
called something
second
else?
one's the best. That's the Frank Bruner stuff. It's the third.
Okay.
No, it's
No, that's
not.
too late. That's 99.
What is this titled? Is it DR Strange? What is it
Questions.
titled? Doctor Strange, Master of the Mystic Arts? Does it have the whole Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supreme? Maybe that's it. No, that's not it. It's probably Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh, could be.
Sorcerer Supreme.
I got it.
Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme. That's
Yeah.
where you have the Midnight Suns in
Yeah,
it.
because it's right in that time frame that
Yeah.
within 92. Yeah.
I
Okay.
almost have a full run. I'm going all the way good until issue 60, and then I have some sporadic missings, and then 67. I must have dropped out of Marvel a lot on these tail end. Although Doctor Strange had a pretty long run.
He's
Well,
had a
90
few long
issues.
runs, which is, I mean, I don't mean to say that it's surprising, but it's just, he sticks around for a long time. Like each time, he sticks around for a while, like up until
Yeah.
his spot. Yeah.
Yep,
What
so I'm
character?
almost complete.
Nice.
I got a lot of work to do in Doctor Strange, but everything else is almost there.
So
So,
that's about
you're
all
having trouble with a magazine box.
Oh, Mike.
Why can't
So,
you go to your store and ask them for to order you one?
magazine box?
Yeah.
What I did, I looked online all over the place. So, the Mylar bag that you get from E. Gerber is 9 inches wide, okay?
Yeah.
Typical size, typical width of the magazine boxes are also 9 inches. Which means that the inside is just slightly less than 9 inches.
Well, mine fit perfect in a drawer box.
Checked the drawer box that you talk about, because
Yeah.
like I said, there's no one around here that sells them, but I went online and I checked. It's those are 9.5 inches wide.
Oh, that's because they make it so it could support rails.
Yeah,
That's why.
so it doesn't fit. It does nothing fits. So you know what I did?
But there's two magazine sizes. There's the Playboy magazine size, there's the standard magazine size, and there's
Everything that I
something
could
else.
find are 9-inch ones, except E. Gerber, who's are like $79 for 5 boxes, which seems insane to me,
Five
because those are,
boxes? What do you
yeah,
mean?
if they sell, magazine boxes,
I did not know that.
yeah, 5 boxes is like 78, 75.
Did you go to drawer boxes?
I looked there; those are a lot cheaper. But you know what I ended up finding?
What?
CGC magazine boxes.
Oh, those will fit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I saw, out of all places, they sell them on Walmart.com, 5 boxes for $35. So that's what I bought.
Walmart?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Not in the store, but Walmart.com have them.
Holy frack! I would have
Yeah.
never, ever, ever guessed that.
Me neither. I just did a search for CGC magazine boxes, and that's one of the ones that came up. That were in stock because, like,
I was gonna
out of
call the
stock.
guy today because I'm getting, now that comics are shipping again, I'm probably going to need more drawer boxes. I still have 7 or 8 in the storage unit, but I don't like to get below a certain point because then I have potential to run out.
Yeah, I know.
So I want to order another 20. I like to have 20 in my storage unit, so I'm going to ask him to order me some more, and I'm going to ask him for 2 more magazine boxes because I just filled 2. I've been intaking a lot of magazines
There's been a lot of, yeah, I mean, I have
with the
more than I
creeps,
passed.
and
Yep.
now I'm going into the Rebellion 2000 AD stuff. So it's like, and then I just picked up on those Facebook auctions, Eerie and Creepy, like some old ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of magazines in my collection. I just
Well,
bought $6 Million Man
yeah.
magazine number issue 1 from Aaron.
Nice.
And now I got Planet of the Apes magazines coming, and that's a lot of magazines.
Now that I finally found the Savage Sword of Conans that I have, which isn't a lot, I mean, but it's like eight, nine issues. Like now I have those, I can go ahead and bag those as well.
Yeah.
So, but
Well,
yeah, so I'll be getting five
I'm supposed
boxes
to
soon.
send you like 50 magazines, but I'm waiting for a box I could ship it in. But
I know, don't worry.
my boxes have been way too fucking big. I'm waiting for one of those really light weeks. Next week should be a light ass week
There's
because
no
there's
DC
no
in the market.
Marvel and no DC.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, they're gonna be a light week.
Yeah, I think I'm getting like $5. I think that's.
I had to grab Negan Lives because that wasn't even ordered.
Yeah, how come they don't offer that to us from DCBS?
It is. You can. It's on DCBS now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, they didn't advertise it though. We didn't get an email.
No, that's what I mean. I wouldn't have thought to look.
Yeah, go look and you can add it to your order. You probably won't get it this week, but you might get it the following.
Yeah.
It's a limit.
My LCS is saving me one, so.
Limit one per customer kind of thing. I ordered one on eBay, and then because I didn't know that DCBS had it, and then I just added it to my DCBS order, so.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't get usually we get an email when something like
Well,
that comes.
it's one of those things that they're trying to surprise the stores because of the coronavirus thing. In other words, it's offered free to LCSs, so all the profits that Robert Kirkman are going to the LCS itself.
Yeah, it's a pretty
So
cool
like if
thing.
it's $4.99 book and they're gonna reap all the benefit.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really a nice thing to do.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we could wrap this one up, Rob.
Yeah, sounds good.
We're
Thanks for
gonna
recording.
have to try to coordinate a Everything Else podcast soon.
Yeah, we do. It's
Yeah.
been a while now.
Yeah, I think we're going on a month, if not longer.
Yeah, and we gotta get Chris back on here. It's been a month, so.
Yeah, Chris probably got himself busy in that and then said I'm just gonna not come on.
Yeah, probably.
So you can reach Rob at Rob Krieger on the Twitter, at me at Mike Myers Brunch. Facebook is Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, and the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. And my email is mike@comicbooknoise.com if you need to reach me that way. So I think that's a wrap.
Sounds great. Have a great Sunday.
You get Friday off then, so you have a 4-day work week.
Yeah, only a 4-day work week. It's gonna be nice.
I have a 4-day work week, but then the following week I have a 3-day work week.
That's even better.
Yeah.
What are you taking extra time?
I'm actually going to visit my folks.
Oh, that'll be
Yeah.
nice.
Yeah. Just gotta be careful. Got our
Yep.
masks.
Yep, just got have
And
your
like
masks on.
Barbara's aunts are olders too, 70s and 80s, so
Yeah,
gotta be very
can't mess
careful.
with it.
Can't mess
Yeah.
around. 6 feet rule.
That's right.
Yeah.
No hugging.
That's right. We
All
need
right,
those.
well.
We need like those huge. You know, they used to sell those like grips with the fingers.
Yeah.
I need to buy some of those. They used to sell those toys, and except we have to extend them another 3 feet. Those were
Yep.
about 3 feet. She could just. Yeah.
That's about right.
Right.
Thanks,
Well, you have a good one.
enjoy.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.